The question today is, are there different degrees of being lost? Well, I have to say this, lost is lost. And it doesn't matter about a degree. In fact, the Bible has no degree as far as a certain degree. Now, I know there's different, I guess we could say there's different categories of the lost that we could identify and maybe speak about. But Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, one's lost, that means separation from God. And one's lost after they come to the place of we reach a knowledge of accountability. Again, I've dealt with this before, but it's not an age. See, a lot of people think it's a certain age. It's time for you to go up, time for you to be baptized. Well, that's not salvation anyway. But there's a knowledge comes when you know the difference between not good and evil, but not right and wrong, but good and evil. In other words, that's the knowledge of accountability. Now, where that's at, I know not. But whenever a person reaches that point, he's out from under the safe, protective canopy of God, the grace of God, and he's then separated from God as far as lostness is concerned. Over his head hangs the wrath of God, but God is good to him, Romans 2:4 said, to bring him to give him a space of repentance. Now, during that time, he's subject. If he died in that condition, he would go to hell. But many people do not know where they reach the knowledge of accountability. They could not put their finger on the place where they actually were responsible to God and where they were separated from God and reached that condition known as being lost. And so, therefore, there's not a degree, but there are categories of being lost. For instance, I break it down into three categories of being lost, of lost people in the world. First category, I'll call the sinner. Now, I know every person is a sinner. If they're not saved, they're a sinner. And by the way, you realize something, and the Bible calls you a saint when you've been saved by the grace of God. It no longer calls you a sinner because all your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus because there's been a sanctifying work of the Spirit done in your heart. That's the work of Holy Ghost conviction. And that brings you to the place that you've been set apart. Therefore, you're called a saint if you're genuinely saved. Now, I know we usually sing this song, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and that's all right. I understand we've got the flesh and there's still sin, but thank God the blood has continual cleansing power upon his people, the saints of God. And so, therefore, but before you're saved, you are a sinner in the Bible. So when the Bible speaks of a sinner, it's talking about one who's reached who's not yet saved. He's reached the knowledge of accountability. He's separated from God. If he died in that condition, he would go into the lake of fire. Now, like I say, many people do not understand that, but there's the case of the out-and-out sinner. The sinner that's out there, that's the category that's just out. He's rejected light. He's hardened his heart against the truths of God's Word. And by the way, light, when it's demanded, when God gives you light or truth or something and expects you to obey that, if you reject that and refuse that, it will eventually harden your heart. Just as if it talked about Pharaoh's heart being hardened by God. Listen, God didn't automatically just harden his heart. What it means, God instrumentally hardened his heart when he put demands upon him and asked him to do some things in which Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And so light rejected will harden one's heart. That person that's the out-and-out sinner is the one, and he's lost, but he has no fear of God. Bible said in Romans 3:18, the natural man, there's no fear of God before their eyes. And so what's happened? The hedges got pulled back. See, God gave light to every man in Romans chapter 1. And he's if man is has ingratitude about that light, he's not thankful about that light, indifferent about that light that God gives him, even in creation and conscience, then what light he has becomes darkness. It causes him to turn and worship idols, become an idolater, and also it'll lead to immorality because Romans 1 said that God will pull the hedge back. He'll give him over to vile affections, uncleanness, and reprobate mind. And when God pulls the hedges back, what happens to a person, he's moving at a breakneck speed toward the place of being reprobate if he's not already there. And that's the out-and-out sinner, the category that's out there. He cares nothing about God. He cares nothing about the Lord's church. In other words, he'll tell you real quick he don't mind going to hell, and he doesn't because he's not bothered. God don't bother him because he's already rejected light and his conscience is seared. And the devil's sure not going to bother him because he wants him to go off in hell. And he thinks he's going to enjoy hell because all of his friends is going to be there. But he's lost. Now, let me say this. Before the Lord can save you, you've got to experience that lostness. You see, it's not something of revelation in the head. It's not inductive and deductive reasoning. If I'm not saved, then I'm lost. And that's all right to come to that place. But there has to be the point that God reveals to you your lost condition. He speaks to your heart and lets you know you're lost, separated from God. And you experience that separation from God. That's part of the Holy Ghost conviction of judgment. And as a result, it's godly sorrow which works repentance in you. Or if God works that in you, 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, and verse 11 says, yea, what fear? Yea, what respect and reverence of God. It's not just a phobia of the hell or something like that. But when God lets you separate, there will be some fear. There'll be some phobia, but there'll also be a respect and a reverence of a holy God who's a just God and puts you in that condition. So therefore, the category, not a degree of lostness, but a category is the sinner, the out-and-out sinner, is one who is in that condition. And as a result, he don't want God, don't want anything to do about God, and could care less. So that's a category of which there's many people in this world in this condition. They will not repent. They do not aim to repent. And as a result, they're sinners. That's one category of loss. Now, there's another category that Isaiah refers to in as far as an application. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 10, he said, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. This is talking about what the category that I would call the seeker. And they are seekers today. Somebody said, well, the Bible says no man seeks after God within himself. That's true. The natural man does not seek God. But when God awakens you and brings you from the broad way to the narrow way and awakens you, and plants something inside you, he'll teach sinners in the way. Psalms 25:8 said, that's the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And so therefore, as far as the seekers are concerned, this is what he's referring to, I think, here. Application can be applied because all scripture is profitable for doctrine. So he said, who is he among you? Now, you notice one thing about what he's saying there about that. Who is he that's among you? That's an address to show that genuine seekers are very rare. Who is among you? That's worded as if the Holy Spirit is selecting one person out of a crowd, which is addressed in verse number 11. And I'll call that category in verse 11 the seduced, because he said that, behold all ye that kindle a fire. So there's many in that category, but the seekers, there's just a few. And that reminds me of what he said in Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In other words, he said there's even few that find the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And then he commanded those that's found that narrow way, strive to enter in the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. Now the only ones that are desiring to enter the straight gate and seeking to enter in is those whom the Lord has awakened. Those who've turned from the broad way and they found the narrow way that leads unto life, and life is at the straight gate, the S-T-R-A-I-T gate. In other words, and few there be that even find it. So the address here in verse 11 of verse 10 of Isaiah 50 is if to say there's just one person out of a crowd that he's addressing it to, the genuine seeker. That's a category of the lost. But they're the ones who've got hope. They're the ones who will really get in, because the Bible says here he gives the characteristics of those seekers, if you please, because it said, who is among you that feareth the Lord? In other words, he fears God because he's been awakened. Now, as I said, no man in a natural condition fears God, but when he's been awakened, God does something in his heart, lets him know that he needs to respect and reverence a holy God. In other words, and so that means he's been awakened, and godly sorrows, I've already said, works that in a person. That's deep caused grief over sin and the judgment that will come as a result of the sin of unbelief. As it comes, it's going to cause you to respect and reverence a holy God. And so therefore, he feareth God. Now, that word ETH in the King James Bible, anytime And you see that means a continuous action verb. That means he's going to have respect and reverence once he's come to that place. He'll do it today, tomorrow, and next day too. It's going to be a continuous action, habitual lifestyle. But he also gives another characteristic of the genuine seeker, talking about that obeyeth the voice of his servant. Verse 10 of Isaiah 50, the word obeyeth, again, is an ETH, which means a continuous action verb. And he obeys the voice of his servant. Now, the his is talking about God's servant, and God's servant's the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it means that he's going to obey the voice of his servant. And what is the voice of the servant? It's more than the mere voice in the Scripture. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5, he said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance." You see, the gospel must come to you not just as a book, not just as a scripture, but it must come to you in power and the Holy Ghost. This Bible that I hold in my hands, it must be clothed with the Holy Spirit. And unless the Holy Spirit gives a voice to the voiceless letters of this book and takes that truth out of the Bible and rivets it in our hearts, the Bible is no more to us than any other book. Now, what does he speak to us? Well, he speaks in his Bible. This Bible, he speaks promises to us. Now, I know this Bible is written for us, and it's not all written to us, but God's Holy Spirit can make that to us when he quickens that to our heart. When he speaks that to us, it can be the written word. It can be the preacher as he preaches to you. He can use that. But now, if you're just following a preacher, if you're just following the word without letting the Holy Spirit make this word sharp and reach down in your heart, recesses in your heart, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So therefore, you need to listen to what the Bible has to, what God speaks to you. Three things. In a sense, he speaks promises, he speaks warnings, and he speaks threatenings. There's two categories of that. You see, this narrow way that leads to the straight gate has ditches on both sides. One's a ditch of despair, and on the other side's a ditch of presumption. And if we're not careful, we'll get in either ditch and never reach the straight gate. You see, the word presumption means venturing without positive permissions. And when God speaks his promises to us, it keeps us from getting out in the ditch of despair. And when he speaks to us the threatenings and the warnings from the book, it causes us to stay out of the ditch of presumption and be a genuine seeker in that category and seek the Lord that we might come to the straight gate and be saved. And that's the one that's saved. The out and out sinner is going to die and go to hell. But the seeker has a chance. If he'll continue, he'll come through the straight gate and be saved. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air. Or in there. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.